The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, continuing with three men from MIT, planetary scientists, a professor of planetary science, Professor Richard Binzel, a professor of planetary science, Julian DeWitt, and a research fellow at MIT, Artem Burdanov, all of whom, with their colleagues, published a new article in Nature magazine, submitted at the end of 2024, online at the end of 2024, here in a magazine in my hands. JWST, that's the James Webb Space Telescope, the one that sees at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning and also picks up exoplanets for study. JWST sighting of Decameter main-belt asteroids in view on meteorite sources. Decameter means very small. Richard, I come to you because of the Torino scale. It's a fascination. What is it that we're looking for, and what do we do about it if we find it? Something not necessarily dinosaur-sized, but bad enough to cause a lot of damage on the planet. What does that look like, and how do we know? Thank you, Richard.
Discovering an asteroid and figuring out where it's going to be in the future is a bit of a challenge. It's like trying to figure out what seat a fly ball is going to land off a home run hitter's bat right when you hear the crack of the bat. So initially, we just see a tiny fraction of that orbit, and we don't know where it's going to, where that asteroid is going to be in the future. It's just you have to watch it for a long time. So sometimes as we're watching it, we can't be sure one way or another if it's going to hit or miss the Earth. It can have a probability that gets transposed into this 0 to 10 scale we call the Torino scale that was adopted internationally back in 1999. And if we ever get to the situation where we have an object which is Category 8, which is a small object that might be a bad place to land on a small town, a medium-sized, a Category 9 object is larger than 100 meters, and that kind of object would be regionally devastating, and more than a kilometer could be a threat globally just in terms of how much dust and debris it would put up in the atmosphere. So out of the 0 to 10 scale, let's don't see ever see 8, 9, or 10. The chances of ever seeing an object like that in our lifetimes is incredibly small, but it's not zero. So what do we do? What do we do if we found an object that was on a trajectory to intersect with the Earth? Well, fortunately, this has been thought about now in recent years with some level of seriousness among international agencies. There's an international group called the International Asteroid Warning Network that is composed of more than a dozen different countries and different agencies that look at the very specifics of any particular object that poses a hazard or could pose a hazard to the Earth. And they've done lots of tabletop exercises of different objects at different times, different amount of warning times, to try to come up with scenarios of what we would do. Most ideally, we want to find these objects long before, like decades before they would ever intersect with the Earth. Because the longer time we have, the more options we have. And among the best options is something we demonstrated with a mission called DART, the Double Asteroid Redirect Test. It was a NASA mission to smash into a small asteroid, harmless out in the asteroid belt, that we could then measure how that spacecraft smashing into it changed its orbit or deflected it a little bit. And that test was quite successful in showing reflection of an asteroid orbit. And so if we have a long warning time, just a little bit of a nudge, many years, if not decades, ahead of when that asteroid would arrive to our vicinity can knock it completely off course. And so that deflection with a lot of time is the best option we have for keeping the Earth safe from an unwelcome asteroid coming to visit.
When you say decades, do you mean more than 100 years, less than 100 years? Can we guess?
I would say decades, as in plural, 10 or 20 years. Once we discover an asteroid, when we get a good enough orbit on it, we can actually predict it more than a century into the future. And after that, all the nudges and perturbations by the other planets start to make those calculations difficult. So we, with enough time and we observe a complete orbit, a typical orbit might be 4 years for one of these asteroids, like the 2024 YR4. It has a 4-year orbit, and it took us just a few months to pin down that entire 4-year orbit. Just we got finally saw a big enough piece of it. And in fact, once we see 2024 YR4's orbit over the next 4 years or so, we'll know where it's going to be for centuries. And that's plenty of warning, of course, considering all our options.
Artem, I come to you because what next for this discovery of the James Webb having a day job and a nighttime job and a job on the weekend? You report in your article in Nature that the James Webb is going to be observing 15 to 20 exoplanet host stars next. And of those 15 to 20, you discovered 138 by looking at the TRAPPIST, or you were looking at TRAPPIST and 138 showed up. Are there any projections of how many asteroids you're going to be able to find with 15 to 20 exoplanets?
So James Webb has already observed a lot and will hopefully observe a lot more. And among different observing programs, there will be this big program dedicated to the study of exoplanets. And those observations will be done in a similar way that the TRAPPIST-1 observations were done. So only in those programs we hope to find thousands of these small decameter asteroids, but potentially it's even more in all James Webb data, because James Webb observes, as you already mentioned, galaxies, stars, very different things from different scientists all over the world and the U.S. So our plan, our next step is to look at all that data that gathered and try to find asteroids in all of that. And it will help us to map a 3D structure of the asteroid belt. And who knows what we'll find.
So there's data already available, and you're going to be archivists. You're going to plunge into the data that's already achieved. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And we are waiting for the new data to come. So we'll be doing real-time processing as data comes in available, and we'll be looking for looking in the data that's already in the archive.
Julian, the Vera Rubin, I've seen many photographs of it under construction in Chile. And then there's the NEO Surveyor. What can they do that James Webb Telescope is doing now? Any different?
Yeah, that's a great question in terms of what's next for planetary defense efforts. So these facilities will help us sample or find, if you wish, all of these near-Earth objects that are quite easy to find when they get close to Earth, right? And so they can do this sensing, this census work for the near-Earth population, and the Rubin telescopes even more. What they won't be able to do in some instances for some of these near-Earth objects that are found as are moving further and further away from Earth, what they won't be able to do because they either don't work in the mid-infrared for Rubin or for the NEO Surveyor, they don't have the same size of a mirror, so the same aperture, they won't be able to be sensitive to objects as they move further away. Though in the instance where there is one of the objects, and we're going to find so many more in the near future, so I think it's important for the audience to be aware of the fact that as humanity gets better and better telescope, we're going to have more and more of these objects show up on the Torino scale. There might be at some point one of them for which we don't have enough time to observe and track its orbit, and we may not know where it will end up in the near future unless we turn to James Webb, and James Webb keep on observing it when it's further and further away from Earth and help us get that impact probability. So that's how they would be playing team together. Most of the work will be done by Rubin, by Neo Surveyor, and then in some cases we'll turn to the James Webb to get the final size of this object or the final trajectory if we cannot do that with the other telescopes.
So what we're going to learn is what's going to scare us? Is that what I just heard you say? The better we get, the more scary it's going to become?
I would look at it the other way around. We'll have more time to do all the things that Rick mentioned if we need to do them. So we're getting safer and safer by the day thanks to this technological development, both in sensing and then in intervening if we need to.
The Vera Rubin is the whole sky. Neo Surveyor probably is pieces of the sky. The James Webb is a very narrow piece. You put all three together, you get a good profile. Is that where you're going? You're going to put all three together?
I'll take that if I can do that.
Sure.
I think it's important to realize that the James Webb Space Telescope and Hubble Space Telescope are designed to study in detail very tiny specific directions in space. What's coming online with the Vera Rubin telescope and the NEO Surveyor telescope, these are all sky surveys. These are specialized telescopes, not to point in a really specific tiny part of the sky, but to see as much of the sky, in fact, the whole sky, and monitor the whole sky basically all at once. And so that's a very different kind of telescope, very different kind of survey. The Vera Rubin telescope and the NEO Surveyor telescope in space complement each other because for Vera Rubin, being a telescope on the Earth, it can only work at night. It can only look in the direction away from the sun in the nighttime sky. The NEO Surveyor telescope in space will have a capability of looking closer to the sun in a large region of the sky that we cannot see at any given time from the ground. And so they complement each other. The space-based telescope and the ground-based telescope complement each other in terms of giving us full sky coverage, kind of everything, everywhere, all the time.
Gentlemen, this is very helpful, and I'm going to ask you to play a game that's fun. I'm going to give you each an unlimited budget when we come back. And what would your ambition be with an unlimited budget? I understand time on telescopes is very much a contest, but with an unlimited budget, you can buy your way front line. Artem Burdanov, a research scientist at MIT Planetary. Julian DeWitt, a professor of planetary science at MIT. And Richard Binzel, a professor of planetary science at MIT.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
For over 30 years, BHM has been the trusted CPA firm for closely held businesses across Ohio and West Virginia.
BHM has made life easier for myself and our company when it comes to tax and accounting.
At BHM, we develop top talent to tackle your most complex challenges.
A CPA firm can be the lifeblood to a successful business. If you don't feel that way about your firm, ask yourself why not.
Visit bhmcpagroup.com to schedule a consultation. BHM, the CPA firm simplifying the complex.
Columbus, mark your calendars. Concert for a Cause, presented by the Columbus Auto Dealers, is coming to Kemba Live on Saturday, August 9th. Catch multi-platinum country star Tyler Hubbard and powerhouse trio Runaway June, live for one powerful night of music. All proceeds benefit the Butterfly Guild at Nationwide Children's Hospital, the Ryan and Christina Day Fund, and the Starhouse Foundation. Get your tickets now at cbusconcertforacause.com. One night, two incredible acts, three amazing causes. Don't miss out.